Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
801 ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. All right. So Jim used to call us back in the day.
We almost never let somebody back on the air a second time and again.
Mm-hmm. All right, but here's the deal. His Jim used to call us back in the day, and he used to sing us a song.
I recognized him from his speech pattern that this was the same Jim that used to sing songs, and I think he used to work at bars like singing. I think he used to sing at bars or something like that. And he made up, and he had songs that he would sing every once in a while on the air. And so I think it's the same Jim. He said he is the same Jim, and he called back and said he's got a song.
Mm-hmm. So, Jim is here, and he's going to sing us a song this morning, a somber morning, what with the hurricane and all the racial strife in the country.
Hello?
Yeah, so we got Jim with us. Hey, Jim, you got a song for us?
I do, and Lance is right. Of course, the only song I ever sang anywhere was at the old Seabrook Beach Club back in the day when it was what you might call... fertile ground back in the day, but I got one for you.
Go ahead.
No, I didn't sing many songs back then, but I got one right now.
Okay.
Are y'all ready?
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Mama, don't let your babies grow up to be peckerwoods. Don't let them handle pistols and batons and them giant goddamn flashlights.
All right, well, yeah, that's enough of that.
You can't swear.
And that's the end of that song, Jim.
You can't swear.
Well, that was always on the board that could jump off.
Yeah. Jim, you can't swear on the radio. This ain't satellite.
This isn't. We don't have any explicit lyric warning.
No, Jim.
That's Jim.
Jim. The word peckerwood originated as an African-American slang term for woodpecker in the 1800s, but by the early 1900s began to be applied as a racial epithet against whites with a meaning similar to the term white trash. Then, in the second half of the 20th century, in prison environments in Texas, California, possibly elsewhere, the word peckerwood originally used to refer to white prisoners generally.
Mm-hmm.
Began to develop a more specific association members of racist prison gangs and cliques.
They call each other Wood.
Wood.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Here's Mark Foster. By the way, this is one of our listeners, black listener. I'm saying that for context. He says on tweets earlier to us, he said, when LeBron was building his brand, was he as an outspoken advocate for civil rights? Year three, LeBron was not as outspoken. That's why it feels so inauthentic to me. Then he went further on and said, seriously, how does the WNBA not playing impact change? Those are some things that Mark brings up.
Well, year three, LeBron was 21 years old.
Yeah.
Are you the developed man that you are at 36 that you are at 21?
Come on.
I don't think
he was a kid. He was still a kid.
I don't think the conversations were the same.
I can tell you what I was looking for.
Yeah, LeBron was a 21-year-old
kid. We're not
kid.
Putting you and LeBron in the same categories.
Let's lose normal 21-year-old. Mark, right. Were you the same guy you were at 21 that you're at 35? Or however old you are? No.
So I know how you're going to respond to this, but I'm going to bring it up anyway. Let me see if you have a measured response. Clay Travis made this comment yesterday. He said his feeling is that LeBron realized at the midway point of his career or whatever that he was never going to be Michael Jordan. And so he made a conscious decision to flip and do what he did basketball-wise, but really do something that Jordan didn't do, which is take a stand for issues. Now, typically I would say, but something that has never stood, something that has always felt a little strange to me, and I said it at the time when this happened, when LeBron was at the ESPYs and had, because this was not a, I don't know, this wasn't the hot topic, but LeBron showed up with a safety pin on his lapel, and it was for safe spaces, for people to be able to speak for safe spaces, and it or have safe spaces. And that was the first time I saw him get, that I remember that he got kind of, I don't know if it's political, but was more an advocate for something non-basketball. And I'm not saying that he did that intentionally because he wanted to do something that Jordan didn't, which is Clay Travis's argument. My just thought was that felt like something that was a little bit for the brand. Now, maybe I'm just cynical. Maybe I'm just being cynical because we do see a ton of brand building for athletes, young athletes, older athletes. We even saw a recruit say he's trying to build his brand in college. He's either an offensive or defensive lineman, and he felt like going to Ohio State, he wouldn't be able to build his brand in year one, so he was going to go somewhere else because they're not playing this year. What are your thoughts about LeBron as a doing things as a brand builder to elevate, maybe being inauthentic at all? Do you see anything with that?
I mean, LeBron is a brand builder. I know
he's been a brand.
Yeah, forever. I don't know what makes that inauthentic. I mean, let's say LeBron is being inauthentic. Let's fall on the line of he's being a fake. Why do I care if LeBron's being a fake if his fakeness is helping people?
Right.
What do I care?
I don't care either. His motivation?
Yeah. What do I care? That's why part of what you said, my major response to Clay Travis. That's why I think a lot of his stuff is nonsense, and particularly when he goes down this lane, which is what he's done in the last, I don't know, however long it's been. As long as LeBron is doing things that can enrich people's lives and help them, he could be the fakest person in the world. He could be only looking for clout. But if that clout is actively leading to people benefiting, I don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair.
Right. I mean,
because I don't know why most people, I don't care about LeBron James as a human being, sure, but my life doesn't even think about LeBron James as what he does, what he's not doing. Is it real? Is it not? It doesn't matter to me. And that's my biggest shock about this. Why do people care so much about LeBron? He's trying to do something to help, but it doesn't offend me if it's phony, if it's fake, because I don't know LeBron. LeBron doesn't affect my life.
Well, LeBron he did. He affected your life when he was the Heat.
But that's for 4 years. I liked him as a basketball player, but what he did off the court, I didn't care about that.
Well, and today, as opposed to, you know what? Athletes are being asked questions on specifically LeBron because of the pin, or maybe he just continually and maybe he's speaking
maybe
his mind.
Maybe he grows, maybe, he's different.
And maybe it's just this is the evolution of LeBron James. I don't give a rat's ass either what he thinks. But here's the deal is, back in the day, it was very rare that Michael was asked about crap like this. I mean, well, very, very rare.
Because he also
white people.
It was a different time.
Republicans
though.
buy shoes too.
But it was a different. It was a way different time. It wasn't spoken time. About as much in sports, which is a little. You know, it is a little strange when you think about it. Because the '60s, you had a lot. You had '60s and into the '70s. I mean, you had Muhammad Ali. You had you had George. I mean, you had Frazier versus Ali, which took on kind of a socioeconomic. No. It was almost a political, it was a racial thing where you had the good guy, bad guy angle that was trying, you know, that was almost personified there by establishment, anti-establishment. That's what it should be. It's not good guy, bad guy. It's establishment, anti-establishment. You had John Carlos, Tommy Smith. You had Bill Walton and his comments. You had, I mean, it was a political time with sports getting involved in the '60s. And then it just kind of shut down.
Yeah,
for a long time, and even that was not to be talked about. Well,
then it was more. That's when the money came in.
That's true. You're right, because then you're messing with people's money.
Yeah.
And Michael Jordan, and
when
that's
Nolan Ryan made $1 million. I remember Kirby Puckett broke the $3 million, and it was off to the races. And then you know, and you're messing with now you're messing with my bag.
Now, if Michael Jordan had stood up and stepped out and talked about different issues or even child labor issues, people talked about that.
Well,
that would have been considered.
Well, he avoided it because Nike.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That would have been, I don't know, he probably had enough juice that it could have, but he might not have thought he had enough juice to make it happen. But it was a different time in the 80s and into the early 90s.
But it's not unlike, it's not too much unlike what LeBron, I mean, LeBron has got his brand, his Nike, his China. He wouldn't stand up against the civil rights. I mean, he's got his hypocrisy as well.
Well, there's certain things he's not going to take chances. Yeah, people aren't going to mess with their.
No. Look, everybody brings it up as soon as LeBron says something. What about China, LeBron?
And I think
China?
The most disingenuous thing.
And those people don't care about China.
If we're looking for the perfect athlete or the perfect person, you're not going to find him. Yes, LeBron has some spots you can get in on him on because you know what? He didn't speak out about China. He didn't come out and say, what are the Chinese doing to the Muslim population in their country? You know what? No, you guys don't care.
Yeah, but not only did he not speak out, he admonished Daryl Morey.
Understood. It was a hypocritical act, but you know what? I'm not going to rail on him because, as I said before, most of what LeBron does, I don't really care about. It doesn't affect me. But the other thing is, these people don't care either. I don't follow their timelines, but I imagine there isn't a long litany of tweets about the
Hong Kong and...
Yeah. So when people bring it up, I don't
just point out hypocrisy. That's all it is.
It's a gotcha thing that doesn't have any genuine feelings behind it. So I don't care.
No, they don't care. They don't care.
Yeah, most people don't really care, but some people do. Some people who are not athletes really do care about because you just talk about you never want to see that happen abroad where there is just where freedom is being trampled upon and you don't have, you know, especially what's happening in Hong Kong. That's why Daryl Morey spoke. And Daryl Morey wasn't wrong to do it. He was probably wrong to affect other people's. He had an impact on other people other than himself, so there was short-term and long-term ramifications that could be discussed. By the way, we have breaking news.
What?
Colin McHugh took a shot at you. You haven't even commented on it.
Oh, that's the dumbest thing ever.
No, it's not the dumbest. Colin McHugh, who's won a World Series. Have you won a World Series?
Never. Have you, John?
Have I know you have World Series ring. It? Have you won a World Series?
Have you, John?
Colin McHugh didn't really either.
Yeah, he did.
He wasn't even there.
Yeah, he did.
He wasn't even there.
He got a ring.
Here's what he tweets.
Not a real one. Yeah, no. I got one.
Not a real one.
Try to sell yours. Here's what he tweets. That leadoff homer that Ronald Acuna Jr. just hit off Gerrit Cole was absolutely crushed. Props to AJ Hinch for moving George Springer to the leadoff spot in 15, paving the way for power guys to hit leadoff.
And you know what?
It's the first
basically,
one.
Basically,
hold on.
Bobby Bonds led off. This
didn't let
dumb.
Him, you didn't let him.
I'm going to say next time at John Granato.
No, in fact, you didn't let him finish the tweet because on Twitter you can sometimes modify the tweet. He goes, EAD at John Granato.
Yep, no. There it is.
There it is.
Yes.
Dumbest thing ever. There's no power hitters. Ricky Henderson, Bobby Bonds. Yeah, they couldn't hit home run. That's dumb.
Gilbert says
AJ invented it.
I'm absolutely
paving
sure.
The way.
You're the one who tried to break it down.
You tried to
abolish the leadoff spot.
No, I tried to abolish George Springer hitting the leadoff spot, hitting
fourth,
and
that's
when
why
he could drive in runs as opposed to slappies at the end of the order.
That's why Colin tried to subtweet you.
Back in the day,
and what happened?
When they had slappies in 7-8-9,
they won the ring.
And what happened? Do you want to know how many times George Springer came to the plate with nobody on base?
What did he do
in that season?
John, what did he do in that
World
Series?
Kiss the ring, John. That's what he said. Kiss the ring.
Kiss this.
I'm absolutely sure this tweet was aimed at John Granato, says the Gilbert.
813 ESPN. Just talk about Craig DeSerf.
Let me tell you about my man in Angleton, Craig DeSerf. I remember when we used to go play basketball at Angleton. You know, Angleton used to be known for the double nets that they had, so it took longer for the ball to come through the net so they could set up their press. As after a make, it took forever to get that ball out of there, and they're setting up press. They had those depressing yellow lights. It just, everything brought you down there. Well, now Craig DeSerf has changed all that. And it's not just a place where they do sneaky stuff to set up their press after made baskets. It's now known as car capital of the world. And that's something that some people are saying, car capital of the world. There are people saying this. And if you go to LanceZCars.com, you'll understand why. In Angleton, this is where you have Craig DeSerf and his crew over there at Gulf Coast Chevrolet Buick GMC giving you great deals on your GMC vehicles, on the Buick. Buick has some of the best deals going right now. I mean, Buick's offers are bananas. But how about the GMC, the opportunity to get the brand new Trax or to get, I'm sorry, the Chevy Trax? How about that vehicle? How about something that's smaller, that's more compact, that is great for a first car or great for a college student, someone going off to college, or maybe you are looking to get a brand new car, but you don't want to get killed on price. This is a great opportunity for you. And don't forget that my friends over at Gulf Coast Chevrolet Buick GMC, as always, they can deliver it into Houston. If you don't want to make the drive down to Angleton, they'll bring it right to your doorstep. And that's how they roll out in Angleton at Gulf Coast Chevrolet Buick GMC. It's why their customer service satisfaction is number one in the city and in the Houston area time after time after time. Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. Go to LanceZCars.com.
This is Carlos Correa, All-Star and World Series champion, and big fan of Gulf Coast Chevrolet in Angleton. No one will treat you better. Chevy, find new roads.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do. 817. I was just thinking, in that instance, you know who AJ is? Oh, he got a World Series ring because he batted George Springer leadoff. You know who he is? Christopher Columbus.
No one got lost
and discovered America.
He thought he was going to
the Indies, and he discovered America.
Did he
look what happened.
Did he follow that up by enslaving the Dodgers and murdering them,
maybe,
too?
Maybe.
Wow.
Maybe.
Is John the embodiment of the meme that has the guy with the smiley face mask, but he's like crying and angry behind the mask?
Yeah.
Was that what you were when they won a World Series?
No,
you were
I loved it. I loved it. And
I've never seen anyone more upset about a baseball move in my life.
A smart
baseball move.
No,
than
it wasn't
you.
A smart baseball move.
Yeah.
No. If
Springer, Paul Molitor did.
Do you know how many RBIs George Springer would have had if he played a cleanup? Third or fourth? I mean, ridiculous.
How many?
Let's go through Hall of Famers. Let's go through Hall of Famers who did this. Ricky, of course, Ricky was also super fast. He was a place that
yeah,
I don't even count Ricky. But the real ones, the best are Paul Molitor, Craig Biggio, because Biggio also had pop, and now George Springer.
No.
World Series or Hall of Fames across the board?
No. Bobby Bonds was one of the original home run hitters that could also steal bases. Yeah, he could run.
That was the other thing.
He could run. George Springer doesn't run.
He is a George Springer doesn't run. Who also had pop.
George Springer can't run.
No, George Springer is a smart analytical move where they say, let's get him more at-bats. Colin McHugh, a baseball player, is saying that. But you know more than baseball players. You know more than Jeff Luhnow. You know more than A.J. Hinch.
Yeah. Thank you.
Have you ever won a World Series?
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I got a ring.
No. Did you win? No, that's your wedding ring. You can't flash your wedding ring and go, I've got a ring.
No, I got mine at home.
Did you win it or was it given to you?
Yeah. No. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No. What is the? What? Which one is it? Yeah or no?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. I was. I felt like I was part of the team.
I'm sure you did. But did you contribute to the wins?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, that's good that you felt like you were part of the team.
That's what the Astros
were. You
want.
Also screaming in the dugout at the manager for having George Springer hit first when he's busy winning the World Series MVP that got you your fake ring?
Yeah, he would have sealed
it. Knockoff ring?
They would have swept if George Springer was in the cleanup spot.
Not game one. He's dunking game one.
Okay. That's all he could put up was 12 runs in game five. He would have put up about 17 or 18 if Springer was in the
Every
four
time
hole.
George Springer hit a walk-off home run, that was you. Absolutely. You would have lost that game for the Astros with your ideology.
I'm trying to figure out. So George Springer would in the four hole would have been more impactful than all the trash can banging. You think which one would have been more impactful in the World Series?
That's a tough question.
Did they bang
trash cans?
Probably
Springer. Springer.
Wait, but there's never been anything said they bang trash cans.
Oh, I've been told they cheated and won a World Series, so I got to assume they're banging trash cans.
Now they did ruin every pitcher that pitched for the Dodgers, and again, the Dodgers ruin every pitcher that pitched for the Astros.
Oh, yeah, well,
they had better ones.
That's right. They were banging trash cans in Dodger Stadium when Kenley Jansen threw.
No. I'm talking about Game 5.
When Marwin took him deep.
I'm talking about Game 5.
Oh, Game 5. Well, they scored 11, right? And the Astros scored 12.
Well, they had better pitchers than those two. Remember some of the guys coming in for the Astros? They weren't.
I remember Clayton Kershaw giving up 2 3-run homers.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Trash cans.
Yeah.
Oh. That's what I'm asking. Oh. They were ruining some pretty good pitchers.
Wait a minute. Clayton Kershaw in the postseason is a bad pitcher.
All the bullpen.
Huh.
Their bullpen was better than the Astros.
Their bullpen sucked. Really? Because Kenley Jansen, Marwin took him deep at Dodger Stadium. Huh, that's what I remember.
See, now he's on board. I can't keep up with you. Are you anti-Astros or for Astros?
You know, we never know.
Okay. Springer in the leadoff spot, 8 outs to go, case closed.
You know what?
What?
Is he a flip-flopper? Because this caused drama on the station.
8 outs to go.
When Nick said that last week, he said it to Josh, and it caused a big fight.
Ooh.
Call him a flip-flopper.
I missed that one.
Are you going to? No, I can't call him a flip-flopper because then I have to stay quiet for an entire show, and then everyone gets upset with me.
Everybody gets. AJ had to come in. And
you missed it. You were out golfing. You missed it.
No, it was sent, and I heard some of it, and I was like, this is too uncomfortable. I can't listen anymore.
You don't pay attention a lot of times to when we send you stuff on Glory Boys. It's like basically just me and Raheel, our own text, where every once in a while you send something inappropriate.
Or when you guys have an earnest conversation, John just takes it to a point where I told you guys, save that for the Glory Boys chat without John, the one we have so we can talk about real things without John.
So they had a huggy moment. They were
Raheel
and Lance.
Raheel said, this is a show you should watch on Netflix. And I'm like, oh, and he just talked about his experiences. And I'm like, man, I'm sorry that you had to go through that and you felt that way. And then John said something that I'm not going to say because he could get fired, I could get fired, everyone could get fired. I don't want to get fired right now.
It was remarkable. I mean, it was kind of eerie because you're watching the Weather Channel as a storm.
I was literally watching storm coverage at that time.
And then Raheel's talking about the show he was watching, and Lance's like, "Man, that's really harsh, man. I'm sorry. I felt that way." And John was like, "Well, you actually should feel sorry for this."
Yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable. Let's get Jay in here. Wants to talk about LeBron. What's up, Jay? 713-780-3776. Jay, what's going on?
Not a lot. I just wanted to touch on this LeBron thing.
Yep.
If you guys remember, after I think his first championship, he gave an interview after the game, and he said that he wasn't even supposed to be here. That told me then that he was very aware of his situation as a black man in this country. And everything he's done after that has told me, as John said, his evolution is for real. I believe it. I believe in it. And I don't think separating his brand, I think that you don't have to separate his brand from his voice, his platform. I think they're both equally as real. I don't believe he spoke on China because it was business. He made a business decision. But that doesn't take away the fact that I believe when he's talking about his social justice causes and his vote initiative, I think it's all equally real. And another thing real quick, Lance, you said this morning that I think you're 16-year-old, I'm not 100% sure, to ask you what difference did it make? And you said you're not sure that it will make a difference. And then I'll go to something John said. What John said, he was shocked that this happened again. And let me tell you where this bridge is. John is, if John is shocked, let me tell you, as a 40-year-old black man, I'm not shocked. This has happened before. It'll happen again. And I won't be shocked. But where John is shocked, where he probably wouldn't have been shocked some years ago, that tells me it's progression being made. It's forward progress being made. The more people who are shocked now, the more voices we have in this fight.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Agree.
That's really all I had on that. And yeah. Lance, I'm going to tell you one more thing. My daughters love you to death because they said you Jedi mind tricked me one time. When I called in as a Yankee fan and I told you I was from Queens, New York, and you started talking about music, my whole point was gone because I jumped down that rabbit hole with you.
I know one thing. This is what I know. If you get someone from any of the boroughs, all you got to do is bring up music, especially hip-hop. And then all of a sudden, it turns into, oh, what about Brooklyn? Oh, what about the boogie down? Hold on. Queens. It turns into a whole, like, you can't, whatever you're doing, you have to drop what you're doing and get into the argument and start repping your guys. Hollis Queens, Del. You know who's hot reps Hollis Queens?
Why don't you tell everyone, Lance?
DMC. Mm-hmm. D for never dirty. MC for mostly clean. You know what? If you look at Run DMC, early 80s, we're talking like 83. Run DMC was doing rock music with Rockbox. They did stuff that was like nobody did it. Nobody did what Run DMC did. And that's in the early days of hip hop, some of the earliest days of at least, you know, hip hop becoming more public. They were doing stuff with rock that was like insane. To this day, I'm blown away that more people don't talk about the fact that they have songs that don't sound like anybody else in hip hop until people tried to meld hip hop and rock like Limp Bizkit and stuff. And it did not sound like that.
Mm-hmm. 826. Yes, thanks, Jay. Appreciate
Queens represent.
And you're dead on. You are dead on about me being. The Minnesota incident really awakened me. Honestly, it changed everything for me. That someone could be so callous, Rodney King.
Going all the way back. That was the most shocking thing that I had seen until the jury said not guilty. That I was like, but it's how is that possible? You have, but there's video. That was then the most shocking. And then,
then immediately after the Rodney King, you had riots. The white guy getting beat by
the Reginald truck. Denny thing. Yeah, Reginald that was Denny. A shocking thing. That whole thing, I was like, ooh, my
well, there goodness. Wasn't anything shocking. It was just like, what the hell are you, what's going happening? On in LA? Yeah. That to me was like, wow, you people are just nuts over there.
Simi Valley voted differently. They're a little different on that.
But the Minnesota George Floyd thing really, really, really changed it for me. I mean, it was just like that dude just wanted to kill him. He just wanted to. He did not give a rat's ass about that man's life. And it's not like it hadn't happened before. I don't know why, but that just. And then this one is just so stupid. 827 ESPN 97.5. I want to talk about Boomer Naturals right now. Boomer Naturals is. I'm seeing the nanos. Actually, I'm seeing them on Yahoo Sports page. Yeah, the first thing is you see a Boomer Naturals. You see a woman riding a bike with her Boomer Naturals, and she looks kind of hot. Okay, in her Boomer Naturals mask.
They're not going for kind of hot.
No, they are. They really are. Okay. Then why didn't they use someone that wasn't kind of hot? That's what they were going for.
Is she in a bikini?
No, she's in. Okay. But she's riding her bike, and she's you know what? I feel like that's a good ad right there. Because the Boomer Naturals, a mask looks good. And that's the thing about it. Well, that's not really the thing about it. The thing about it is how it protects you. And if you're somebody that wants to be protected in these unprotected times, well, all you got to do, that's right. You got to protect yourself. And you got to protect others around you. That's the key to wearing a mask. So wear your mask. And if you're going to wear a mask, wear one that actually works. And that's the Nano Silver technology. You're looking for the best mask in the market. How about 20% off because you put in promo code Granato? Go to BoomerNaturals.com, BoomerNaturals.com, and find the best damn mask. BoomerNaturals.com, promo code Granato.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
830 ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776.
Heard flights are getting mostly full on United now. Somebody who works at United told my wife that. People, they're starting to be... I'd like for the saliva test to come out. Like, I'd like to know that it's public somewhere, that we're starting to move to it. I'm all excited about it because it's rapid turnaround and all that stuff, but can you let us in on when is this jumping off? When can we know it's jumping off?
Saliva Direct?
Yep.
That's going to be accessible to all the teams? I hope soon, because there's a bunch of teams that had outbreaks. North Carolina State had to shut it down. Oklahoma is still practicing, right?
Yeah, Texas Tech, too. There's also
Texas Tech is still practicing.
Yes, also, yeah. There's also something that came out that we hear about the Saliva Direct, but there's going to be something that's available soon that you can do at home. It's a 15-minute test that's apparently very accurate. You don't have to send it to a lab. It is a nasal swab, but it doesn't have to be sent out.
15 minutes?
Yeah.
You can do it at home?
You can get your results back in 15. It's going to be cheap, like $15.
That might be even bigger than Saliva Direct.
Yeah, we had Ross Dellinger on earlier. He quote tweeted it and talked about it. It's on his timeline where it'll be something you can do at home, nasal swab, don't have to send it to a lab. You get the results back, and it's apparently in the 97% range in terms of accuracy. So
Wow.
That helps. That'll help. Well, if we're thinking about it from a sports perspective, that certainly helps.
Do you have to touch your brain with the swab?
I don't know how deep you have to go. I haven't seen it in use.
Well, if you can find out in a matter of minutes if you're pregnant, you should be able to find out if you're sick, right? You would think.
You would hope. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, smart people are out there trying to.
And apparently they've found a $15, 15 minute. I think it's at least a 15 minute test. I'm not sure the actual price, but it shouldn't be something that's going to be so cost. It shouldn't be so costly. And you can. They say they're going to have like 50. You can possibly test 50 million people in the next couple months or so. So, if you wanted to do that, so we'll see.
Well, that's
things
good.
Are changing.
That's good. North Carolina State had to push back their opener a couple of weeks, huh?
Yes. They and Virginia Tech both had open dates. So instead of each team opening on the 12th, they'll open on the 19th against different opponents and then play each other on the 26th. So that is the first game after the new schedules that have come out that has been rearranged from the major conferences because of COVID. We don't even know how many people have tested positive as far as North Carolina State football players. They just had an outbreak with their athletes. So they're pushing it back. Other places in the ACC, like Boston College, no positives. Miami announced, not really announced, but their players came out and said, I think last week, 106 players tested, no positives. So some places is going fine. FAU paused practice. They're back at practice. I think to push the play, we're at a point where they're going to get it off the ground, and we'll see where it goes from there. I think. By the way, there's a college football game on Saturday. It's a game. Central Arkansas, who's got like an 11-game schedule, even though their conference said we're not playing football in this fall. They're playing Austin Peay on Saturday.
Let's go, Peay.
It'll 8 p.m. 8 p.m. Central here on ESPN. It'll be
Let's go, Peay. Let's go, Peay. That'll be – are you going to watch it?
Yeah. I mean, there may not be basketball on, so it'll be sports to watch.
Will there be another NBA game?
The Board of Governors, which we used to call something else, but we can't call them that anymore, is meeting today, and the players are meeting today. If those particular governors don't have an actionable plan in place, I think this is a real shot. But the players themselves are like, we want to play.
Yeah, the players, they said the vast majority of players want to play.
Yes, and I believe that will carry the day as long as they aren't put off by what the owners
bring. But what kind
of
plan did the Board of Governors have to have?
Despite some of the...
I don't know what they're going to do about this police shooting black man.
Despite some of the pushback on Twitter from our conversation... If you're a board of governors, you say I'll make my arena polling place, where people Milwaukee is a place that I think is doing it already. I'm not sure, but that's one of the things you can say. Hey, we're gonna push to make our place a polling place. That's something actionable you can do to tell your players we're not just putting out statements. Like, we know the NBA is doing each governor is donating like $10 million over the next, or is it $30 million over the next 10 years or whatever? They're donating $300 million over the next 10 years. That the entire group is doing that. That's money. That's great. But hey, we're gonna make sure everyone who comes to our games and our communities can vote. That's something you can do pretty quickly, I think, to say to the players you're serious.
Yeah, don't you have to vote in your where you live?
Well, that's what I'm saying. You'd have to do it in Milwaukee. Make the arena where people in Milwaukee can come vote.
You have to live near the arena.
You have to be in the district. I don't know how it's.
Yeah, there is some.
Yeah, you have to, but it's another place that people can vote in that area.
Right,
is what you would do.
You just can't walk up from anywhere and just vote anywhere.
It has to be in the county. It has to be in the county. Right. But if you're whatever county that resides in, that's another and a rather large place where you can come vote.
What if this backfires and it's a bunch of Republicans that are going to vote there?
I don't think the demographics of Milwaukee speaks to that.
You don't know?
No, I think I know because I remember watching it during the last election. It's not a heavily Republican area, I believe. I think that's a Democratic area. But backfiring, it's not about backfiring. I know we assume, and maybe rightfully so, that most of the players are going to be voting in Democratic in this election. But really, give everyone an opportunity to vote. Or make it as easy as possible, and then let them make their own decision.
Yeah, you didn't see last night? What was his name? Clarence Henderson, I want to say, from the Greensboro Four.
I didn't see that.
Oh, he had a long. He was pro Trump, and why? And he was one of the Greensboro Four that sat in at the lunch counter, and why why you should, if you're African American, why you should vote for Donald Trump.
Why should we? Why should I, as an African American, vote for Donald Trump? According to
The stuff that he's done, the jobs and everything else. I mean, he was, and while Joe Biden has done absolutely nothing for the African American community, mm-hmm. That was his point. I'm not speaking for. I think his name is Clarence Henderson. Anyway, so, but he was adamant that this is, and he was standing right in front of there's a building with the painting of the four of them sitting there at the lunch counter.
Did Lou Holtz? I know Lou Holtz said you Biden's only a Catholic in name. Lou Holtz was talking yesterday. And I wasn't even upset by that. I was more upset that they kept calling him legendary coach Lou Holtz. He won one national title. He's not legendary. Stop it, everyone.
But it was the best. It was the best title.
He won a national title.
Of all the titles, it was the most heralded.
He won a national title in 1988. That's one.
That's the year. Yeah. That's the apex of college football. Everything's downhill after that.
With an African-American quarterback. Thank you.
And that's not
Tony Rice, what a great quarterback.
Thank you.
He's voted for Donald Trump.
Barry Switzer did it, too, with Jamel Holloway.
But he changed the game. Lou Holtz changed the game.
No, he didn't. Yeah. I just gave you Jamel Holloway.
Jamel Holloway's voting for Trump. Tony Rice voted for Trump. That's what I'm hearing.
Legendary coach.
Legendary. Oh, he should have also won in 83 when it was stolen from him.
How was it stolen from
him? It was stolen from him because he beat Florida State, and then Florida State had one loss and didn't go to the national championship.
That's back when voters used to just say, let's see who I'm going to vote for.
93.
He lost to Boston College at home. You don't get the national title.
93.
He lost. I don't
national
care.
Champions. Oh, this is Notre Dame.
Where John starts talking like that to drown you out and as in an argument.
When he says things like that, it makes look it at more me. Important. 93. If you lose to Boston College at home, you don't deserve to win.
No, yes, you do. No, yes, you do. Oh, if you lose to Notre Dame, you go and Notre Dame does
wasn't
it?
Was it Notre Dame? Okay. Wait. Was it? I remember that. Was it the field goal? Was it a janky field goal make by Boston College, or was it a miss by Notre Dame?
No,
I can't remember.
It was a 40-plus yard field goal. It wasn't a janky field goal. It was a
but it barely got through, right?
No.
It was Boston College, right?
It was a 40-plus yard field goal.
But I remember it was like barely snuck over or something.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I remember.
Either
it
way,
yesterday.
You lost at home to Boston College. You lost to Glenn Foley. Beat it.
No. Oh, you beat Florida State.
Oh, well, don't lose then. Don't lose.
Oh, my God. Well, Florida State lost, and they got there.
Yeah, but who do they?
They lost to Notre Dame.
They lost to a better team on the road. That's stupid.
No, the whole thing's stupid.
You lost at home. You don't even care.
Yes, I do.
You don't care about losing.
I thought they got ripped off.
Sure you
screw.
Did.
Oh, you're back in Florida State.
No.
Traitor.
I'm backing anyone who screws over Notre Dame.
You're a hypocrite now.
No, I'm not.
You love Florida State.
I love them more than I love Notre Dame. I'll say that much.
Really?
Notre Dame sucks. I hate them.
Notre Dame or the Yankees of college football.
No, they're not.
I thought you could. You really hate Notre Dame more than you hate Florida State.
Yeah, people.
Rivalry, but there's an arrogance factor to Notre Dame.
You either like Notre Dame is like they feel like Duke of football.
But Duke wins more.
Yeah, but Duke. No, true. But people have heard about them for so long. Actually, Notre Dame, it's much more. There's a Catholic thing. There are people who would cheer for Notre Dame just because they were the big Catholic university. There are Notre Dame fans, like in Louisiana when I lived there. There were huge Notre Dame fans who lived in New Orleans. And you think, what's the it's just Catholic thing. They just sidle up to Notre Dame.
Yeah.
And that's just the way it was.
Right.
But that's why so many people don't like...
If you're Irish or Catholic or...
Notre Dame or... you know, like the all-time most... polarizing teams would be Notre Dame football, New York Yankee baseball, right? I feel like the Yankees more than anybody else has been polarizing. I don't know who it would be in basketball. I don't know if there's a team in pro basketball. I mean, you have to, the Yankees, because they had a history of winning.
For sure.
But then they just kept saying, telling you they had a history of winning when they weren't winning anymore. That kind of got old.
I don't know. The Lakers. Are the Lakers?
In football, it's Cowboys, I think.
Polarizing, yeah. Yeah. I think the Cowboys are the
maybe Lakers. Yeah. Man, maybe
Lakers.
Because the Lakers have had different runs with different stars. That's true.
And you hate them because they beat your team all the time. And they won all the time.
Like a cheer against team. What I mean is a cheer against team. Who are the cheer against teams? It would be Yankees. I would say Notre Dame's up there. But you have a loyal fan base and a huge group of people who would just cheer against those teams.
Yeah.
Cowboys for sure in the NFL.
Well, can you say, I mean, I used to hate Kobe, hated Kobe.
Was it because he was a Laker?
It was because he was phony. He was because
he was doing the Michael Jordan.
Can I say that now, though? Is that okay?
No.
Is it too soon to say I hated Kobe?
Now you care about etiquette?
Yeah. Yeah.
Since when?
I always have.
He only fake said, can I say that? Don't worry. He didn't really care.
No. He just said it.
I don't care.
Yeah, he didn't really care.
I hated Kobe. What do you want me to do? I'm sorry. Sorry, Raheel.
You mean just like a lot of people did, but then they tried to flip it like,
yeah.
And inspiration, Mamba. Do you know one of my kids wrote R.I.P. Mamba on his shoes, Mason? Like, what the? You're a Kobe guy? I didn't even know you're a Kobe guy. Yeah. R.I.P. Mamba. Oh, okay.
Loves Mamba.
Yeah, I didn't realize he's such a Mamba guy. He is a big Allen Iverson.
I'm watching Boston College Notre Dame right now. Fourth quarter, down 38-32.
That's unfortunate.
Notre Dame is going to come back.
By the way, Washington University developed the COVID-19 saliva test as well. They've got one, and it doesn't say anything about saliva direct.
Is it soft?
New saliva direct.
Pac-12.
Saliva test to detect SARS-CoV-2 virus has been developed by researchers at Washington University in St. Louis. Results from COVID-19 diagnostic tests are available in a few hours and ideally able to be communicated to people tested within a day. Highly sensitive to detecting even tiny levels of the virus. So they're filing on August 25th. Fluidigm received emergency use authorization from the FDA. So here's another one, a saliva test. I have to think more and more coming. When are we going to have this, though? Like, when can I get John to take one on a daily basis when he comes in, Dale? When is that saliva test going to be available?
I'm ready. I'll do it every day. Whatever. Let's go. You think I'm scared? No.
Of a saliva test? No. You ready to do a nasal swab test?
No, I don't want that.
You did one, right?
I did one.
Was it good?
No. It touches your brain. It sucks.
You did the one where it's all the way up in your
eye
socket?
Frankie was screaming when she had to do
it. Was she really?
And the nurse was like, stop. We do this 100 times a day, and you're the only one that screams. 844 ESPN 97.5. You know what, though? Frankie's a champ. She's a champion. If you're looking for champion energy, if you're looking to save money every single month, there's one good way. It's called Champion Energy. Please, all you have to do is go to champion.energy/1560. It's still hot. You're still using energy. You're using so much. It is time for you, my friends, to please, please, please go to champion.energy/1560, and you will save money. I'm telling you, I love them. The service is second to none. You will love what they do at Champion Energy. Champion.energy/1560.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
On ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Oh my God, I'm watching this final drive by Boston College to beat Notre Dame in the final seconds.
Yes, from the 80s?
From the 90s, 93. Okay,
93, yeah.
And was it Mike Stonebreaker? Was that the ball went right through his hands?
No, it wouldn't have been Stonebreaker then.
Was it?
He would have been gone by then.
He would have been gone by 93.
Yeah, he was a John Curtis kid. He went to school at John Curtis, where my brother went. But he used to come work out there.
Well, it was another big white linebacker.
Yeah, it's Notre Dame.
Notre Dame. And he had a ball go right through his hands and completed. And actually, there was a personal foul earlier to start the drive. A minute 22 left, and they drove down the field and were able to kick the field goal to beat Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
Just unbelievable. And ruined college football.
They ruined college football?
Yeah. Ruined college football.
How so?
Because Florida State won the national championship.
So that ruined college football?
And not Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Clemson.
Oh, no, that wasn't a janky kick. It was good.
I told you.
Yeah.
Well, I must be thinking of a different one then.
No, it was a lefty. He kicked it. He got it over the crossbar, but it was 40 yards.
I think it's from 88, where there's a janky.
Well, they
there's
won
a,
the title.
No,
that
it was
year.
A Notre Dame miss, is what it was.
Oh. There were plenty of Florida State misses, right, though? Wide
yeah.
right?
So some of the great moments of college football history. Florida State missing 30-yard field goals to lose games.
Yep. Jamel Holloway Look at we're getting all kinds of.
I told you Lou Holtz didn't start anything. Jamal Holloway was
this,
before.
Let's do this now. At the 8:42 segment, John will watch a college football game.
And we'll talk about it.
And then we'll kind of live, instead of live tweet it, live talk about gain of four.
Well, let's do the Boston College Miami game.
From 1984?
Yeah.
Sure, go ahead.
Yeah.
Boston College also
How
ruined.
How would you feel about that, though?
My dad's Cougar fine. Team that year. He ruined ago. Your Miami team before you were born?
Yeah, why would I care?
And he ruined my dad's U of H football team. My dad was talking in the we went to the John Harris is there also. We went to the Cotton Bowl.
Spoiler there. Alert. It was 93 DH Green, okay?
By the way, my dad and I were talking the other day on the phone, and we were talking about University of Houston football program and how it was kind of – we were talking about Bill Yeoman. He said, how'd everything go on the radio when I came on? I said, good. It was really good. And he said, yeah. And we were talking about a little bit of the things that Bill Yeoman did. And he told me that Bill Yeoman took a lot of heat for saying he wanted to have a black football player. And he told me kind of how Bill Yeoman told him the story of how it went down. And he said that, you know, there was something about the Cougros that in the SMU basketball gym in the 80s, there was a, maybe late 70s, early 80s, a sign like on a, you know, rolled out that was painted on. He's like, oh, you couldn't believe some of the stuff that U of H would see. Like U of H University, not just the football program, the basketball program. And he said, we would see it and hear it a lot of different places. And then he said that, you know, he told me about that. He goes, I remember when they referred to us as human cockroaches when we went to Dallas to play Boston College in the Cotton Bowl because they were so, they hated Houston, the Houston Cougars so much. I said, Dad, you know who wrote that article? Do you have any idea who wrote that article? Because I remember who wrote it. And it was Skip Bayless. Wrote the article in Dallas. He was trolling in 84 at the 84 Cotton Bowl, writing that Houston Cougar fans were cockroaches that were descending upon the city of Dallas. Nobody wanted them there. They were a team that shouldn't be in the Cotton Bowl, playing against the great Doug Flutie, a disgusting fan base and disgusting team. And it was like people were furious. And now I realize, and I realized this a few years back, is he was in full troll, like he understood the troll mode a long time ago. He understood that if you want to stand out, mm-hmm. make ridiculously outrageous statements where people absolutely hate you, and you have a chance to stand out. And boy, isn't that great for society. Boy, the more Skip Bayless's, the better. Just say horrible things and stand out for being the most outlandish and outrageous you can, and there you have it. I like to call him the anti-Charlie Palillo.
I kind of feel like Skip is so stupid. He says, I don't think he does it on purpose. I think he just is stupid.
You think it's real? You think it's real?
How many times do his tweets come back to haunt him?
But isn't there
a receipt? Don't people keep receipts on Skip?
People keep receipts on everyone, but he doesn't care. That's all attention.
Yeah, well, he makes $5 million a year. He doesn't care.
So.
This whole thing.
It's an act. I don't think he's stupid. I think it's an act.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah, I do too.
I don't know.
I think a lot of those guys, it's an act. You know how it goes in those meetings. I've been in some of those production meetings where you talk about, okay, well, then mm-hmm. I'm going to say this. Well, if you're going to say this, although NFL Network doesn't really do that, but I can imagine how I've heard that Richard Justice told me a long time ago about Stephen A. A long time ago, he goes, Stephen A. is a really good basketball writer and yada, yada, yada. This is when he wrote in Philadelphia. And he said, you know, when he started doing radio, he talked about that's kind of, and he said this about Skip Bayless too. They've got personalities. Now, here's the thing on Skip Bayless though. He is a legitimate a-hole. His brother is a highly respected restaurateur and chef, Rick Bayless, and couldn't be a nicer guy. And he hates Skip from what I think that's a known thing that he does not like his own brother. He just thinks his own brother is a total creep. And Rick is one of the nicest guys. He's in Chicago, restaurateur in Chicago, and just thinks that his brother is just the biggest creep in the world.
I don't think he's alone in that. I'm pretty sure. Well, it's Mac Brown's birthday. And how about this troll? How about this troll job? Put out a picture of happy birthday, Mac Brown, when he was with Oklahoma and Barry Switzer.
Who sent that?
It was, I don't know who sent it.
Did they send it to Mac?
They said, yeah, happy birthday, Mac Brown. And Blair Prince did it. Man, talk about. He was with Barry Switzer back in the day, and that's a young Mac Brown right there now. That's a young Mac Brown and a young Barry Switzer. 713-780-3776. You think North Carolina's got a shot to do something?
There's a lot of hype for a team who went 7-6. I think there's a giant leap from being 7-6 to a legit ACC contender. Now, no one thinks they're beating Clemson, but a lot of people think they could be the second best team in that conference. I mean,
They got the quarterback though.
That's fine. I don't think Mac in a second year has that team winning. In a shortened year with their playing 10 games, I don't think they're going 9-2. I don't think they have that level of talent where they can just, because they would play Notre Dame. They don't play Clemson. I think they're still in the middle of the pack as far as talent-wise. And I watched them last year. They weren't overwhelming anyway. They have a really good recruiting class coming in, but that doesn't help them this year. They're okay. They're going to be okay.
It's a jump. Young quarterback jump is what they're anticipating. Their entire secondary is out. They opted out. Their top three cornerbacks all opted out.
Yeah, but apparently that's not clicking with people.
What do you mean?
In terms of expectations for North Carolina.
Yeah, but that's kind of a deal.
Yeah.
No, I'm with you.
What about LSU's whole offensive line is quarantined?
They're quarantined, so I had a text. Somebody's texting one of them. A couple of the guys don't have it. One of the guys at LSU told a friend of mine, he sent a screenshot that said two of the guys were struggling with conditioning. They were really having a hard time finishing conditioning, and they kept pushing them through it. And then they had them tested the next day and like, oh, COVID. The reason they weren't able to condition properly because they had COVID and they didn't know it. So they had been on the team. And so the concern is, yikes, we better get them isolated as quickly as possible and things like that. But some of the guys who are quarantined, they don't have it. The offensive
They're
line.
Just quarantined.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're trying to keep the unit. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, because
actually,
those guys
LSU
are all together.
LSU has done that. LSU didn't like the fact that it came out that they had 31 people.
I had said that in the article. They had 31 people quarantined.
They're doing it to keep them from getting
what? Right.
Keep them from spreading.
No. That's just smart.
You guys think basketball is going to go? I do think so. Here's why I think NBA is going to play. So there was a vote. So first it was breaking. Clippers and Lakers have voted to walk out and end the season. Well, if they don't show up, basketball's over. You can't have a season, a playoffs, with the one seed and two seed. First of all, no other team is just going to sit there and let them. Number one, everyone wants to be on the same bandwagon in a way. Think about this from a legitimate standpoint. Wow. So you guys with the Rockets are going to let the Lakers and Clippers, they're standing up for racial injustice, and you're going to keep on playing basketball. They're going to think that's a bad look. If those two teams go, it's over. The basketball playoffs are over. They're not going to keep going without the top two teams. Other teams will shut it down too. The ramifications are that there is, and Adrian Wojnarowski brought this up, and this was discussed, there is a better than average chance that the NBA owners will use that to lock out the players. If the season is not completed, they have a provision where they can lock it out and really reimpose the financials for next year because they understand that there is going to be a drop in basketball-related income, and it would, from a business standpoint, it gives them a chance to renegotiate what things look like. So from a business standpoint, it's one of the reasons that NBA players came back to begin with when a lot of guys didn't want to, is if they didn't finish this season when they could have, then the NBA owners or governors, as the league calls them, would there's a very good chance that they could use that opportunity to redistribute how the pie is broken up and try to push things through that they want to push through financially, since things are going to get a little rocky for at least the next year to 2 years. So that's one of the concerns, is if they don't finish, that the owners would probably use that to lock out the players. And that's something the league wants to avoid, because the players are actually in a pretty decent spot financially with the way that they got things set up. That could go backwards a little bit if the owners lock them out.
Yep. 857 ESPN 975 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, come hang with us.
ESPN 97.5 is your home for sports talk. And now we're more talk with less commercials.
Are you serious?
Oh, it's true.
It's damn true.
Houston's only FM sports station, ESPN 97.5.